Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's three baptisms. There's water baptism, and then there's baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that takes place when you come to Christ and you accept Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptizes you into the body. Then there's the baptism that is done by Jesus, and He says, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. So there's a sequence there. First, a lot of times we come to Christ, and then we go and we get water baptized. And then we find out that there's more. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit because we are in Pentecost. Remember, what's Pentecost mean? Pent means five-sided. Costi means to the 10th power. So it means 50. It's the 50th day after the Passover. And we're in that time period right now. Easter was the Passover. So we are in that time period. That's why I'm taking this time to teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because this is what took place in Acts 2, the fulfillment of the baptism of the Spirit, of Pentecost. So that's for us. And that's when they spoke in tongues, and that's when the tongues of fire were on their head. Remember, all these things happened. And so that's the time we're in right now. So that's why I'm taking this time to really try to help educate us in this area of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's nine, right? And anyways, for those gifts to manifest or to engage in those gifts, you have to meet the conditions with obedience. In other words, you got to obey God's word. You have to obey the word of God and Him in order for those gifts to manifest, because they are done by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, there's 12 gifts, and everybody is born with those gifts. You don't even have to be a believer to have those gifts. And then there's 12 gifts given by God the Father, nine gifts given by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and then there's five gifts given by Jesus. See, there's the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's five gifts given by Jesus in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's some, He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Those gifts there are callings. And not everybody gets those gifts. Not everybody gets the gift of being a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. Those are callings, and those are grace gifts. If you're not called to those, then you want to go the other direction, because you'll be miserable trying to do that and not be called to it. So if you're called, you're called, and you're going to get in there and do it if you're pursuing God, right? Now, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit gifts, and we talked about this word charismatic. Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, means grace. Ma, and you put ma on there, is gifts. Grace, gifts. Charismatic means grace, gifts. So people say, are you charismatic? I said, yeah, I'm charismatic, because I understand what it means. Some people have this mentality that charismatic is just anything goes, and you just dance and hoop around and just, you know, la-ti-da, get, you know, no, it's not. That's not what it means. Charismatic means grace, gifts. There's the grace for that gift to operate and function in your life. Okay? That's important to understand that. Charisma. You know, you've heard of people have charisma. That's a gifting. Last week we talked about the gifts, and one of them was tongues and the interpretation of tongues. That's the public gift. Today we're going to talk about the private gift of speaking in tongues. So you have the public with an interpreter, and then you have the private, which is a prayer language. And we're going to talk about that today. See, I want to really bring balance to this, because this has been something that's brought a lot of controversy and problems, when really it should bring health and wholeness to the body of Christ, because it is healthy and whole. It helps you to be healthy. It actually builds you up. How many of you came in here too built up today? You're just too built up.
No.
You just got too much being built up. How many of you need to be built up? We all need to be built up. And that's what this gift does. It builds you up. You can't build up anybody if you're not built up. When you allow all the problems around you to bring you down, you just start to join in with it. Now you just start to flow in it and speak it and looking at it and talking it, and it becomes part of your life. That's why a lot of Christians don't have a lot of victory in their life. But when you understand this, this helps you to have victory and to be an overcomer. This gives you the power to walk out the life that God has called and created you for. See, that's what we need. I remember I didn't have it, and I remember now that I have it. I wouldn't want to be without it today. Because if you're a Christian without it, you're going to be miserable. It takes time to get it, but I'm here to tell you, it's important. I am just here to tell you, in the hour we live in. And you know what? A lot of people have it, but they don't engage in it. They don't do it. And so they're still miserable. We are called to be overcomers. Overcoming what? Overcoming what we didn't know was going to happen in our life. Things happen in our life that we don't plan on. Has anybody been there? Things are going to happen to you. You need to be an overcomer, because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They don't change. But if you have that and you're not overcoming, you will be miserable. But you don't have to be miserable. You can be an overcomer. Because that's what this baptism in the Spirit is. Baptism of the fire. The desire to continue on and fulfill the plan and purpose of God. See, the plan and purpose of God in your life is not dependent on your spouse. It's not dependent on your children. It's not dependent on your mom and dad. It's not dependent on your job and what things that happen at the plant. It's dependent on you answering the call of God on your life and fulfilling that out. See, it's what God is calling you to do. That's what's important. And that's what we got to understand. Because, you see, without this, you'll just check into all the negativity and you'll start speaking it. And that's what you'll be. And that's what you'll have. But if you're going to be an overcomer, it says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. See, this is a faith thing. When you have the faith, you'll be an overcomer. And don't be pointing your finger at somebody doing something, because your time's coming. Don't be pointing your finger at somebody, something wrong in their life, and they're doing this wrong or that wrong, and you're judging them, because your time's coming. Your time is going to come. Things are going to happen to you. I'm not speaking negative, but they're going to happen. And you're going to need power to overcome. All of us are going to need power to overcome certain things that happen in our life. So that's why we don't want to get judgmental and start looking at other people and saying things about other people, right? We got to take care of our own stuff sometimes. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. We're going to read verse 2 through 4. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
He speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, like I said, last week we talked about the speaking in tongues with the interpretation. That's the public ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? And then there's the private, where you have a prayer language. Then you've got, I've had people say to me, and they get kind of argumentative. Well, they want to see, and they want to hear you speak in tongues if you say you're baptized in the Spirit. They get kind of argumentative, and they get an attitude. That's not the way it should be. Never. We should never argue about it. This is something that I don't care for when people want to get argumentative about it. That's silly. And we, in other words, we don't need to see, we don't need to judge anybody if they're baptized in the Spirit, right? If they know if they are, and God knows, that's what's important, right? We don't have to hear it and see it. Some people have to hear it and see it, and so they know. Well, you see, you know, we don't all need to know sometimes, right? Now, in 1904, between 1904 and 1906, there was a revival, and it was the Azusa Street Revival. And that's where baptism in the Holy Spirit broke out, and all these people, all these different denominations were there, and all these people began to discover this prayer language. I mean, it's always been there. It's just it broke out in this area of Los Angeles, California. And then all these denominations came out of that. And so this is not a denominational thing. This is a Bible thing. This is a Bible thing. This is what the Bible teaches. And that's what I'm going to show you. This is what the Bible teaches. It's not some what Pentecostals do or this group does or this group. This is for everybody. And it's balanced. I've seen too much flaky and fruity, you know, it's not some flaky, fruity deal. This is something that's very healthy, and it brings health to you when you understand it. That's why I want you to understand it. Okay. There are over 500 million who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's recorded today. Over 500 million. That's right behind the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church right now is the largest church. And so there's 500 million who you would consider as being charismatic believers because they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they're right behind the Catholics. There's lots of people. And that's what I'm trying to show you. There are a lot of people who practice this and understand this. A lot of us grew up in churches where this was abused or it wasn't used at all. And so that's why I'm trying to bring an understanding and a balance to it, because I want us to use it, all right? I remember being at an altar in this church, and I was longing for this after I came to Christ, and they were like trying, at the end of the service, trying to get me to speak in tongues and say this and get my mouth to move and do all these things, and it was going on and on and on. I was thinking, man, I'm ready to go to lunch. But they didn't want me to go. They wanted me to get this. They were trying to like forcing it on me. You understand what I'm saying? Has anybody been in that? Some of you have been in it. Well, that happened, and that kind of turned me off. But I still, and one day it just happened. I was going through a difficult time, and it just started flowing. And I've been doing it ever since. And you can control it. You're not going to be at the Cracker Barrel and all of a sudden get the microphone and I'm going to start talking in tongues. You can control it. Yeah. So don't come in here, well, I just couldn't control myself. You can control it. All right? So we want you to understand that. That's important. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:2. Let's look at that. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. See? In the Spirit. So when you pray in a tongue, you're actually praying in the Spirit. And you're actually talking to God. And nobody else understands. You see that? You don't even understand. But you know what? It says, look at this. He speaks mysteries. The word mystery is the word truth revealed. God can reveal truth to you even though you don't understand it. God can bring truth to you that you do understand through the exercising of your faith of speaking in a prayer language. That's what mystery means. Truth revealed. He will bring some of the mysteries and the truths that you don't understand yet. He will bring them to your understanding through your exercising this gift. Now, Paul in this chapter was distinguishing between the public and the private use of this gift. He said, I would rather you speak 5 words you can understand than 5,000 you don't understand. And that's what he was saying. You don't want to try to speak out in tongues that people don't understand because they think you're unbelievers and uninformed think you're out of your mind. You see what I mean? That's what we have in these groups on the weekends. We got unbelievers and we got uninformed here. That's why we're not going to just break out everybody doing that here. It's going to be more in order, right? And if we have somebody who does it, there's going to be an interpretation of what's been said. So now let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my what? Now, who said this? Paul, right? Because he's writing this book. The Holy Spirit's working through him. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." He's saying, I'm praying in a tongue, but my mind don't understand it. Now look, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. In other words, he's talking about praying in the Spirit, in the language, prayer language. He's also talking about praying in English, so he understands it. Now listen. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. He's talking about singing in the Spirit. You can sing in tongues, and you can sing in English, right? We just did it, right? And that's what he's saying. Stay with me. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, in other words, if you bless, and then he says, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? In other words, if you're at the dinner table, you don't bless the food in tongues. If somebody's there that don't speak in tongues, you don't bless the food, you know, in tongues, because there might be somebody sitting at the dinner table that don't understand that, and they can't say amen because they didn't understand. Now, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. See, the ones who don't understand, they're not edified. And that's what we're to do. We're to edify others. Verse 18. This is Paul again. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. You see this? Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He's telling us, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, if Paul speaks in tongues and wrote 13 books of the New Testament, I would say it would be okay for you and I to speak in tongues, wouldn't you? And see, this is the baptism in the Spirit. This is the prayer language that comes with that. Go with me to verse 4 of the same chapter. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You see, the one who speaks it out in the group is where you need an interpreter, and it edifies people. See, whenever you hear it and it's done properly, you're going to be edified. You're going to be built up by it. You're going to say, man, that was God. You'll know it. But when you do it in your prayer life, your prayer language, it builds you up and edifies you. And folks, this is what we need. If I'm not built up, how am I going to build anybody else up? If I'm not built up, I'm going to just join in with all the negativity and be a part of that. But if I'm built up and you come with your mess, I can still speak life into your mess. I can't wait for anybody else to come build me up. But sometimes that just don't happen. We go through things by ourselves sometimes. Anybody out there? I mean, you're going through something and there's nobody you understand. Nobody. You can't talk to nobody. No. But when you do this, it builds you up and helps you to continue on in what God has called you to and created you for. We are here to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. I'm telling you what, this is part of the, and you know what? A lot of people have this, but they don't engage in it. A lot of people have allowed the problems and the media and all that's going on to just consume them, and they've just put this aside, and that's what the enemy wants. See, the enemy doesn't want you to discover this gift, because if he knows you operate on this, you're going to overcome some things. You're going to overcome those addictive behaviors. You're going to overcome those financial problems, because you can overcome them, and God can give you wisdom in the midst of that and build you up. That's what God wants you to understand this for, because it builds you up so you can build somebody else up. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, think about this. You read your Bible, don't you? That builds you up, doesn't it? You have a place where you pray at home, anybody? You ever just go there and talk to God? Now, if somebody came in your house and didn't know you, and you were in this room by yourself talking, now they'd walk by, they'd think, that's a little strange. Well, who's he talking to? Oh, he's talking to God. Ooh, I see. You see what I mean? But you're in there, you're doing it by faith. And that's the same way it is in praying in the Spirit. We're doing it by faith. And it's biblical. I'm trying to show you there's nothing to be afraid of. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. That word stand means prevail. It means you're going to win. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication. Where? In the Spirit. You see, that's what we're talking about. In the Spirit. Now, this is the armor of God. This is what equips us for warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. There's a spiritual war going on over your soul, and he wants to keep you ignorant of all that God has for you. And that's why you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have to work with the Holy Spirit. He isn't just going to do it. You got to do your part with him and put on the armor of God. And I'm going to tell you what, when we're not praying in the Spirit, we're not putting on the whole armor of God. There's a lot of people who aren't putting on the whole armor of God. They try to put on the rest of it, but without praying in the Spirit. This is a key ingredient to understand, because this is what gives you the power to overcome. The enemy doesn't understand this, and that's why he doesn't want you to understand it. He'll do everything he can to keep you from understanding it, make you think it's weird, or make you think it's, you know, of the devil. Remember, I told you if it was of the devil, they'd be in the bars just babbling in tongues everywhere you went, right? Yeah. But they're not. It's not of the devil. It's of God, and he wants to show you something. It's by faith. You know, sometimes you don't just feel goosebumps and feel everything when you start this. But sometimes, man, you feel like heaven has just come in and visited me, and it empowers you. You don't feel like goosebumps and all kinds of stuff comes when you tithe, do you? That's the same way it is. See, when you tithe, it protects you from financial ruin. It's a principle of the kingdom. It protects you. See, when you don't and you withhold that, there's no protection. It's the same way in the Spirit. When you practice, a lot of times you don't feel this, but there's a protection in it. There's a protection. You know why? Because it builds you up. It helps you to love the unlovable. It helps you to love people that aren't lovable. And that we deal with those kind of people all the time. In Proverbs 15:4, it says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In other words, that's the kind of person we're to be. We're to be people who speak life to others and build them up. Hebrews 3:13 says we are to exhort one another daily. Daily. We're to always be building up people. But if we're not built up, if everything's got us down and depressed, then that's what we're going to spread. That's what we're going to have for other people when they need it. You got somebody at work and you think they're just negative all the time. There's a reason for that. They're hurting. People are hurting today, going through all kinds of stuff. And you know what a lot of times you do? You just add to their mix, their mess, because you haven't been built up. You don't understand. You just think, man, I don't need no more of that. I got enough of my own problems. Well, that's not why we're here. That's not why you exist. You exist to build other people up and to help pull them out of the ditch. Not to point your finger at them when they're doing wrong and continue to do wrong, and not to rub it in. We're here to rub it out. You know, that's what we're here. We're here to rub it out and help them get out of it. Am I making sense? And not say, oh, they deserved it anyways. That right there is so far from what God is calling you to. And see, and people always looking for to tear somebody down or looking for something wrong in somebody's life. I'm going to tell you what, you need to stop that, because it's going to come knocking at your door. Every one of us in this room. And you're going to need built up. And when you understand what I'm talking about, you're going to continue to be built up and you're going to be an overcomer. Because life's going to deal us some things that we didn't want or we didn't plan for. All of us. We are all going to experience things that we didn't plan on. But this is going to help you rise above it and continue in what God has created you for. And that's what God is calling us to. Because the gifts and callings of God are what? Irrevocable. They don't change. That's good news, folks. That's good news for every one of us. You may have lost a loved one. Hey, God is not done with you, right? God is not done. Your spouse may have left you, and you think, God's not done with you. God has so much more. Folks, listen. You'll be built up inside, and you'll have something to offer somebody when other people don't. Don't you want to be like that? Do you like when somebody, they're negative all the time, and you just start criticizing them and doing back to them what they've done to you? That's not the way we're to live. We're not to live that way. We're to always look for the good in them and help them and speak life over them. Always. And when you're built up, you can do that. See, when you start tearing people down, you're just tearing yourself down. We're to be people of construction, not destruction. Go with me to Jude 20 real quick. This book is all about fighting. If you read this little book, one chapter, it's all about fighting the good fight of faith. Contending for the faith. Contend means to fight. See, that's why I like this ultimate fighting. I don't like all the blood and stuff, but I like the fight, the tenacity that I'm gonna continue on in this, and I'm gonna fulfill this call. I'm gonna be disciplined, and I'm gonna do what God has called me to do. And I'm gonna get in there and I'm gonna fight. Yeah. But it's the fight that you gotta have in you. This book is all about contending for fight. You know what he's saying to fight for? Fight for the faith. Fight for morals. Fight that, deceivers are that truth will be revealed and deceivers will be depleted. Are you with me? That's what the fight is about. And that's the fight we're all in. And we got to get in. Now watch this. Verse 20, look what he says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying where? In the Holy Spirit. You know what that's talking about? Praying in your prayer language. Building who up? You. This builds you up. In what? In the faith. Folks, listen. People are falling away from the faith because of problems and things happening or because of what someone said to them. You see that? You can't allow what somebody says to you and all the problems around you to keep you from the faith. We have to fight for the faith. And that's what this does. This empowers you to fight the good fight of faith. This empowers you to love the unlovable. Now, look what he says next. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That word keep means guard, shield, and protect. How? By praying up in the Holy Spirit. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. See, that's how you keep loving people that are pouring toxicity and all kinds of junk on your life and trying to, you see what I mean? But you remain built up because you understand what we're talking about. Folks, everything is happening today out there. All kinds of stuff going on out there. That's why you need to understand what we're talking about here. Because when that stuff's going on, you can still be standing and prevail. And you'll win. And you'll be an overcomer. Because you understand what we're talking about. Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.